This is More Financial Talk with Ryan Moore from Retirement Solutions Group. You need a financial strategy that accounts for challenges like market volatility and inflation, and that also adequately prepares you for retirement. The purpose of More Financial Talk is to address common financial concerns, provide helpful strategies, and offer ways you may be able to achieve your financial goals. And now here's More Financial Talk. Keep more in your pocket.
Welcome to More Financial Talk. I'm Ryan Moore. With me today is co-host Tony Shore. How you doing, Tony? How's your summer going?
Oh, great. Thanks for asking, Ryan. It's been going good, keeping busy, a little warm at times. We had some heat waves go through, didn't we?
We sure did. Yep.
Yeah.
Typical
yeah.
for this time of year, I guess.
Yep. But just getting off a big, I had some great times with the family this past weekend. We did some grilling. So yeah, everything went well. How about you? I know you were a little under the weather for a while, but.
Yeah, I just got some of that summertime junk running through the household. So just trying to get over that, but otherwise doing well. Sure. We had a great 4th of July, went to a big gathering, got our fill of Excellent. Fireworks and food and all the good stuff. So yeah, it's all in all been good. For sure.
Yeah, you told me you were going to a really big 4th of July event, right? A bunch of people, maybe your church had a big event?
Yeah, that's right. Yep. Standard annual big gathering. There was
nice.
Swimming pool and fireworks and
wow.
grilling out and fellowship and all the nice. Fun stuff. So, you know, it was amazing because it was a little bit of a drive, and on the way home, I was just blown away by the amount of fireworks that were going on the drive. We're driving down the highway and it's like we had a whole nother fireworks show on both sides of us in front of us. So,
wow.
Yeah, it was a lot, but, it was great. Yeah. Very festive.
That's good. That's good. Hopefully our listeners and viewers out there had a great 4th of July as well.
Absolutely.
So what are we talking about on the show today? What do you have for us?
Yeah, so we're going to talk about IRA withdrawals and what you should okay. know. There's a lot that goes into, you know, these types of retirement accounts and how you operate them, essentially, whether it's taking withdrawals or how to plan for getting the most out of your money. And, you know, there's a lot to consider here. So I figured that would be a great topic to tackle.
Yeah, I think it's a great topic. I mean, withdrawal strategies are so important, aren't they? I mean, and this is where people can make costly mistakes. You have to have a plan. You have to have a strategy. And the tax implications, I mean, we're gonna go through all that. So, you know, details really matter with this, and I'm glad we're spending time on it today. I mean, I think a lot of people understand the basics of how a traditional IRA works on the savings side,
sure.
But the rules around withdrawals, things get more nuanced, don't they?
Yeah. Around here, we say this a lot. It's not what you save, it's what you keep. So it's good to know what you're up against. And with that, you know, like they say, knowledge is power. So, and we appreciate people that are willing to be educated. And that's a big part of what we do is help people get informed so they can make intelligent decisions while we're there to guide and counsel. But we'll jump in here because certainly a lot to unpack.
Yeah. Oh, there is. So where do you want to begin with this?
Well, first, some basic understandings, right? So a traditional IRA is a tax-deferred retirement account. It allows workers, when they're contributing through an employer plan, to take a deduction, a tax deduction, when they contribute, and then essentially they pay taxes when they take the money out. But when it comes out, it does come out as ordinary income, which is basically where you land in your tax brackets based on the progressive tax code that we have in our system today. But you know, how and when you take those withdrawals could have a significant impact on how much you actually keep in the end. So just trying to set a sort of a foundation for what we're going to be digging into here. So,
yeah, well, and you have to have a strategy to deal with the taxes and this, the laws, they've changed. There's been rule changes, right? You know, they change a lot all the time. You have to stay on top of it. I don't like to stay on top of it. That's why I have you, Ryan, to let me know
sure.
what's going on. And this is where you come in to help your clients too, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, when I'm doing educational events, I'll say to folks, because I've been at this for more than a couple decades, and I'll just say I've seen more changes just in the last handful of years than all of my other years combined. And so I really feel for the everyday consumer or investor on how they're supposed to keep up with this stuff when, you know, it can even be a bit challenging as somebody that does this as a profession. But I take pride in surrounding myself with resources that help me to stay apprised of, you know, developments and changes, and be there to convey that to folks. And I know they count on me for that. So, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, no, I know that. So I know that, you know, again, there are rules. The 59.5 rule is one of the biggest ones, because there is a penalty if you try to withdraw money before that, right?
Yeah. So essentially, I mean, the government created these retirement accounts, I think, back around 1980, and it was an offset to many employer pensions that were going away. Now, you know, the typical everyday, you know, citizen or investor or individual does not have a pension. I believe that maybe 10% of the population get pensions these days. And part of that was, as we're living longer, these employers were having to pay lifetime income streams to retirees, and, you know, those that have a much longer life expectancy was kind of hurting the bottom line to their revenue for these companies. So they started to do away with pensions. And I think that's really where the birth of the retirement account came about, where the government created an incentive for the investors to have a vested interest in saving for their own future and their own retirement. So one of the carrots that they dangle is that you get a deduction. So if you make $100,000 and you contribute $10,000, then you're going to get taxed at $90,000 of income. But that $10,000 that you contributed, that you're getting a deduction on, in that sense, will go in pre-tax. So therefore, that money that's growing deferred, you're deferring the taxes to a later date, is essentially, you know, building and growing, but has never been taxed on. So therefore, whenever you take the money out, you're going to get taxed on it. In a lot of ways, you're helping the government too, because you're growing their future tax revenue. You know, I always try to take the thought to the next level. And when you're investing this money and there's costs for investing, which are typically going to be mutual funds inside an employer plan, mm-hmm. you know, some of that money is the government's, they don't have yet. But when you're investing it and it's costing to invest, who's paying the fees on their portion? Well, essentially you are, or we are. Yeah. So it is important to understand that. But the big takeaway on the 59.5 rule is that if they're going to let you grow the money tax deferred, then they're not going to let you pull the money out at a pre-retirement type age. So they determine 59.5 to kind of be that retirement age. You know, I tease sometimes as they don't want, you know, somebody building up enough of an account and in your 30s or 40s, taking the money out to go buy a, you know, a red Corvette or something, right?
Like, right.
They want it to be there for retirement, which was the intention of why they established this in the first place. But there are some hardship exemptions, though, and we should touch on those. So based on specific circumstances, you know, let me back up real quick. If you take the money out before 59.5, the early withdrawal penalty is 10%. So not only do you have to pay the tax, but you also have to pay a 10% penalty for taking it out early, unless it does follow under one of those hardship exemptions, which could be permanent disability, terminal illness, medical expenses, in some instances, higher education costs. But if you also are a first-time home buyer, there could be an exemption for taking some money out for that reason, where it wouldn't be penalized. You're still going to pay the taxes, right? So you're not really getting around that. And there could be even a qualified birth or adoption expense exemption. So all those things are worth considering if you do need to get your hands on some money early before that 59.5 age. But for all intents and purposes, you know, it's designed to be building a nest egg for retirement. And therefore, just be mindful that as you're building that, you know, eventually it is going to get taxed. And so how you take the money out is going to have a big impact on how much you keep. And there's a lot of other things to consider here that I know we're going to get into. So part of it is the tax codes.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. So, and I think you make an appointment, even though there are exceptions, this is really for retirement. The way I like to look at it, and I've said this before, Ryan, is that's not my money. If it's in a retirement account, even if I'm 59 and a half, if I'm not retired yet, that's not my money. That's future Tony's money. That's a different person. This is Tony, right. Me. It's me and future Tony. Future Tony, that's not my money in those accounts. That's future Tony's money, and I can't touch that for any reason. And that's the way I look at the accounts, and that helps me not touch those accounts until I need them in retirement. And that, I think that's good. So really, you know, you shouldn't withdraw before 59 and a half or before retirement. And some people wait too long, and we can get into that too. Some people let them grow too much before they even consider taking something out, and then they're stuck with a tax burden. You know, those 401ks and IRAs, they're like you said, they're tax deferred, but when you do take them out, you pay tax on everything, right?
Yeah. So let me just say, I think future Tony will thank you someday, by the way, for considering him.
Yes. Yes. I'm hoping that will be the case. Yes.
Yeah. But that's all part of having a plan, right? We've talked about that on many shows. But so essentially, you have to be mindful. And the concept of deferring now to pay taxes later is that, in theory, you're going to wait till you're in a lower tax bracket, right? So in your working years, you've got more of a, you know, typically higher wage earnings than you may need in retirement. And therefore, you know, you want to wait till you're retired, like you indicated. And hypothetically, you'd be in a lower tax bracket. And that's when you take the money out because of it being taxed at ordinary income. I will say, though, that theory sounds great. And I think that's the ultimate, conception that people go into this under. However, I oftentimes have called it the great misconception, because the reality is many are not retiring at a lower income need. I think most people are needing 80 to 100% of their retirement, needing their 80 to 100% of their wage income in retirement. Let me get that right. But yes. And part of it is because this generation, this retirement generation right now, the baby boomers often are wanting to live the same lifestyle that they were when they were working. And I understand that. But their parents' generation tend to downshift their lifestyle and live more meagerly, and therefore, you know, would not need as much. So we have to be mindful of how we're saving. And so with that, you just want to be looking at where you're landing in the brackets when you take the money out. And ultimately, is it good timing? So there's a lot to consider there. And then the other thing that can be a major factor in all of this is, because these are, you know, regulated by the government and the IRS, then you have what's called legislative risk, which is also known as tax rate risk. So if all of a sudden, you know, they change the tax codes overnight, you could have less. So I always say that in these accounts, every dollar you have in these deferred accounts, you have a partner, and the partner is the federal government. And it's not a great partnership in the sense that you don't have any say in that partnership. So therefore, you're beholden to Washington in any potential legislation changes that come down the road. So if you're going to save this way, you need to go into it eyes wide open and understand that you're not in total control of the situation.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great point. And I think that's one a lot of people miss. And it's another reason why people need to be working with a trusted financial professional like yourself to help map this out and come up with strategies to deal with these things. Right.
Absolutely. And so that is a little bit of a segue to the next thing to consider, which would be, you know, tax planning. Ultimately, when I run into folks that are looking to start to build a plan for retirement, they typically are already at a stage in life where they've accumulated quite a bit towards that goal. You know, otherwise, they're probably not going to seek a professional to start to really map out a plan. And that's our niche focus, is helping people that are approaching retirement, or maybe those that are just entering into retirement. And those are folks that have already, accumulated a nest egg. But most people have accumulated the majority of it in these deferred accounts. And I think many people are waking up to the reality of the whole quandary around legislative risk and, you know, how they're going to have to pay taxes in retirement. And so that's where tax planning, I think, could be critical. And with that, that's where the consideration of looking at Roth planning comes in. So Roth IRAs are not tax deferred. It's money that goes in after tax, but then grows tax free. So essentially, and I've said it before, instead of, you know, the goal here is to pay taxes on the seed instead of the harvest. And so if you pay taxes as you go and grow it tax free, you're not going to be susceptible to legislative risk, and you're guarding against that. But many folks have saved, you know, this traditional conceptual way in the deferred accounts. And so I think once you get between ages 55 and 65, it's a good time to really consider converting from deferred to tax-free traditional IRA to Roth IRA. But you have to do that strategically. It's not something you want to do all in one shot, because anytime you convert, you're basically moving the money from pre-tax to never tax. But when you do that, you've got to pay the taxes. So you want to be mindful of how much you're doing, where that's going to move you in the brackets, and mathematically what makes sense, you know, from a strategic standpoint. And so that's a big part of what we do. And we work with a lot of strategic partners that assist in providing tools and resources to really analyze the math on that. So it's one thing to conceptualize it, you know, mentally or verbally, but it's another thing to actually run some numbers and look at the impact on how approaching this tax planning can really benefit you in the long haul.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's huge. And taxes, this is where people make really, really expensive mistakes, right? And I just see these tax deferred accounts, like you've said before, they're like ticking tax time bombs, because you're letting it grow and grow and grow. So then when you take it out, you have to pay taxes not only on what you put in, but the growth. Sure, you get a tax break when you put it in, but then you pay taxes on all the growth. If you'd pay taxes on it now and put it in a Roth, all that growth is tax-free, right? And that's where Roths come in and what makes them such an important part of planning, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
To me, it's the most attractive option. But either, look, I mean, I've said this 100,000 times, which is two certain things in life, right? Death and taxes. So we're not getting around the taxes, but it's all how you approach it. You can either confront it and plan for it proactively, or you can ignore it. And then, like you said, if you start looking at this stuff too late, then you're reacting to it, and then it can be too late, and then it's going to be, you know, a less favorable situation. A lot of times just deferring the taxes for later in a lot of ways is just kicking the can down the road. So, and look, it's not so much about necessarily overhauling the entire nest egg, although some folks are motivated to do that. Everybody's a little bit different on their conviction of this, but I think at minimum to have some money in that Roth type bucket is creating tax diversification. See, it would be a little frustrating in my mind to be in retirement and have basically all of your money in these deferred accounts. And every time you need $1 or $100,000 to take money out, you're paying your partner off every dollar that comes out. So you're having to gross up every withdrawal. And then again, if the tax codes change, which they're likely to change, in my opinion, when you look at the fiscal condition with the national debt and all, and, you know, and a lot of other things to consider, then when you're taking that money out and you have to pay the taxes, and all of a sudden your partner changes the rules on you in the middle of the game, and you're now overnight have less and they get more, I can't imagine a more frustrating situation. And that's what we mean by it's not what you save, it's what you keep.
Yeah. There you go. Right. It's not about what you save, it's what you keep. And some people are just focused on, okay, I've got this much in my 401k or my IRA, but that number is, number one, deceiving, because it's probably a joint account with Uncle Sam, like you said earlier, you know, 12, 22, 30%, is probably Uncle Sam's. You're going to pay taxes on all of that when you come out. So you really have to look at what you need when. It's more about when you take it, where it's living, and then it is the actual amount, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a lot that goes into this. And, you know, we also work with folks that have written books on these topics.
Sure.
So we provide resources for people to get informed and get educated. Good. And then we do the planning and use the tools to show the math and, you know, help people to understand, you know, what they're doing and why and whether it makes sense and to what extent might they want to confront some of these future, you know, potential tax issues. So moving on here, another thing that we have to be mindful of in these deferred accounts is that Uncle Sam isn't going to just let you keep it deferred forever. At some point, they're going to force you to take distributions, and that is what we call an RMD, or required minimum distributions. So everyone in traditional IRAs are going to be required to take these required distributions when they get to a certain age. And if you were born before 1960, you have to take distributions at the start of age 73. And then if you were born after 1960 or after, your required distributions start at age 75. So at that point, you know, they're forcing you to take money out. It's going to get taxed. And that's basically saying it's time for us to get our tax dollars.
Yeah. Well, and there you go. I think, yeah. So the thing is it's so funny because you can take money out of these accounts, the traditional IRAs and 401ks, too early, as you mentioned at the very beginning of today's show. And now we're talking about if you wait too long and let that amount grow, then you have the government makes you start taking it out at age 73. Right. And then if you have a big amount in there, that can be really rough.
Yeah. So if you're a great saver and you accumulated, you know, the majority of your wealth or nest egg in these deferred accounts, that forced amount coming out could be the thing that pushes you into a higher bracket, even if you don't need the money. And one unfortunate thing is you can't convert the required distribution. So it's too late to do that type of planning on the money that's required to come out. So you're going to have to take it out. It's going to get taxed. And again, where does that put you in the tax brackets at that time? So it's all about trying to control what you can and not being in a situation where, you know, things are not in your control.
Yeah. Yeah. And there you go. You know, you've got to control what you can control. You know, it's like plan for the best, but prepare for the worst. And I think the key is work with a trusted financial professional. Don't try to come up with a withdrawal strategy on your own. You're going to end up making costly mistakes. Work with somebody like yourself, Ryan, right? That's what you do there. That's what you do to help your clients.
Yeah. So we specialize in the distribution phase in life, right? There's the accumulation phase where you're kind of climbing the mountain, saving and having the discipline to, you know, prepare for your future self's endeavors, right? Just like you said, future Tony. But then ultimately, right. I think, you know, the concept here is when you get to the top of the mountain, the precipice, and you're starting to consider to retire and you want to come down the mountain and you want to do it safely, you're entering into a whole new set of challenges. And that's what my entire career is really culminated to, is helping people come down the mountain safely. There's a lot to consider there, you know, income planning, Social Security timing, you know, tax planning, Medicare options. You know, there's a whole host of things that you don't have to deal with when you're just saving and accumulating. And not every advisor specializes in the same things. And I think that's our niche. And that's part of what has allowed us to have a successful practice, is being a specialist in that phase of life, which is where the planning comes in and what I enjoy most, and get a lot of fulfillment out of helping people have a plan that give them peace of mind and allow them to enjoy retirement without all the same amount of worries, because they know what's going on. Whereas if you don't know what's going on with your money and you're not up to speed on these various rule changes along the way, then you're going to have stress and it's going to be hard to enjoy retirement the same way.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. And I think that's really a great point. And before we go today, Ryan, just any last thoughts, and how can our listeners and viewers out there get a hold of you to set up a consultation if they have any questions or want to get their own withdrawal strategy set?
Absolutely. Well, you can call our office direct at area code 615-467-6300. Email our office at info@rsgtn.com, or just check out our website at rsgtn.com.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I'll tell you what, great show today. This topic is so important, Ryan. And listeners and viewers, pick up the phone, give Ryan and his team there a call, or go to the website. Thanks for tuning in. That does it for today's episode of More Financial Talk with our host, Ryan Moore.
Thank you for joining us for More Financial Talk. Don't head into retirement without a strategy that addresses both income and taxes. For more information, please contact Ryan Moore at Retirement Solutions Group at 615-467-6300 or visit rsgtn.com. Join us again soon for another episode of More Financial Talk. Keep more in your pocket.
Advisory services are offered by Retirement Solutions Group, Inc., an investment advisor. Insurance products and services are offered independently through Ryan Moore and Greg McGee, sole proprietors. All matters discussed during the show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary, and the opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources, and no representations can be made as to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation. We are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration, the Federal Medicare Program, or any other government agency. Calling this number will direct you to a licensed sales agent.